what I've been waiting for.
Okay. And here we are. This is the GloucesterCast. It is November 10th, 2013. I'm here with my regular guest, Toby Pett, and a previous guest, contributor on the blog. She's back again today. We hope you can hear her voice. Oh, la, la. It's Kim Smith. Welcome, Kim and Toby.
Good morning, Joey. Good morning, Toby.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Yeah, very nice. Tradition. I like it. Well, Kim showed up this morning with some donuts from Brothers Brew. Toby, did you try your Brothers Brew? Is that what it's called?
Yes, Brothers Brew.
In Rockport.
Right on Main Street, right next to Brackets.
Yeah, well, the brothers are Brackets.
Brackets, right. It's all the same family, they told me.
Yeah, it is. They're the sons. I think they're pretty young. I think they may be in their 20s.
Well, I didn't meet them. I just met the people behind the counter.
Oh, so they weren't there?
They weren't there.
The absentee business people?
Well, there's several times that I've been in for donuts, they haven't been there. But
they go to church Sunday morning.
Right. For all we know, they may be Jews.
Could be.
Brackett. Is that a Jewish name?
No.
No?
No.
There's not a lot of Jewish people in Rockport, I don't think. Unless they moved there from some other places.
Yeah. Probably more than you realize.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
No, they're mostly at Temple Hakim Havatz.
Stop it, Joe.
How do you say it?
Stop it.
No, what's just how?
Let's go on different.
Ahavat. No, it's Ahavat Achim.
There you go.
I got the throat thing.
That was very good. Let's talk about
the rain in plain.
The rain in Spain.
Spain falls mainly on the plain. And so the donuts.
Alien.
Let's critique. The donut. And what type of donut is this?
This is a plain donut with cinnamon sugar.
It is fabulous. It's basically an old-fashioned plain donut with sprinkled with cinnamon sugar. And pretty special.
Pretty special. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What is your take on donuts in general? Are you a donut guy?
No.
No.
I do like a little bit of sweet once in a while.
Uh-huh.
generally speaking, donuts are sugary, and that's not my main thing.
Are you more of a savory guy than a sweet guy?
Absolutely.
Me too. No.
Generally speaking, if it was dinner, I'm the type of guy that would prefer to have an extra portion, even if it was a small portion of the main course or the main meal, and skip
dessert.
Skip dessert.
I'm exactly in the same vein as you. How about you, Kim?
I love everything. Savory and sweet.
Does not discriminate.
I do not discriminate.
The thing about donuts, when I was growing up down the dock, and I drove the truck for a long, probably about 12, 15 years into Boston, and we were so busy, we got here at like 3 o'clock in the morning, worked all day, had very little time. So a lot of the time, places where I would stop on the way to bring the fish into the Boston, to the State Fish Pier in Boston, where they had the auctions and stuff like that.
Right off the Northern Ave.
Like these donut shops or these variety stores that had like donut cases or coffee rolls, and I ate all that crap for years. Yeah. Only because it's right there.
There's
something
easy.
You can stuff down, and like what I've discovered though is like while they're and you read these fitness magazines and stuff like that. You're really getting zero. Other than the flavor, you're getting zero
benefit.
This is a negative food. You know what I mean? This is like positive food's a negative food. This is definitely a food that is going to like...
On the other hand...
You're going to taste it. It's going to be delicious.
Right.
But it's going to make you sleepy. And it's going to give you a quick hit for the sugar. And then you're going to get taken apart for the rest of the day.
On the other hand, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just want to make the point. Old-fashioned plain donuts are not really...
Are you shitting me? Is that what you're going with right now?
Can I
this thing is so dense.
I swear
to God, this may sink to the bottom.
I'm saying they're not coated with sugary stuff. This is a cinnamon sugar donut. Old-fashioned plain is a little bit different. I'm sorry. And when I was a kid working at the Rocky Neck Marine Railways, when we went for mug-up, what you did was you grabbed a cup of coffee and an old-fashioned plain donut. Polly Walnuts, who's participated in these podcasts, the only type of donut that he will go for is an old-fashioned plain. Al Bazanson, great sailor, tremendous sailor, great guy, occasional contributor to this blog, would tell you right now that the only donut to have is an old-fashioned plain.
That's an affront to Appleton Farms and their
apple cider donuts.
Apple cider donuts.
I think Al likes those apple cider donuts because he raved about the pumpkin donuts.
But generally, he's a plain, old-fashioned plain.
Well, may I say something about the calories in a donut? Your average plain donut has 140 calories, and your average bran muffin with, you know, all the stuff in it has about 640 calories in it. So
is that true?
Mm, it's true. So
wait, go back. Let's go back. This old-fashioned laden with sugar all over the outside of it.
It's only sugar on the outside.
Yeah.
There's a little sugar in the batter, primarily just a little bit of sugar sprinkled on the outside. That's basically how you make it. Mm-hmm. But a muffin that has
one of those ones that from Last Stop with the cream cheese in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
That'll take you down.
Yeah.
I mean, delicious.
I mean, they're delicious.
Delicious.
We love Last Stop.
But they will fucking take you down to Chinatown.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Have you had those? The Morning Glories, they're called.
I know.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Yes.
Phenomenal.
So any kind of like big, huge muffin like that has on average between 500 and 600 calories.
As opposed to a plain old-fashioned
An old-fashioned plain donut.
Is 140 calories.
Interesting.
On average. Interesting.
So all of this.
So I could pound out 7 of those and it'd be equal to a muffin? Is that what you're telling me?
Probably 3 or 4.
Probably 3 or 4.
So all this pontificating that you've been doing here, Joe, trying to sound like an expert, I guess you weren't.
No.
No, I still maintain eating that as opposed to a thing of a Chobani yogurt, you're going to get about 5,000 times more benefit from that Chobani yogurt than what you're going to get out of that.
That's just called empty calories.
Those are empty calories. Yeah.
Where yogurt.
For some reason, my body crashes with, like, and there's nothing,
sugar.
Like, I want, I crave a chocolate bar. I know. I eat that one chocolate bar, and I let it melt on the tip of my tongue, and it's the most delicious milk chocolate you ever had in your entire life. For the next week, I'm going to pound down another chocolate bar every single day until I realize what this is doing to me. My mood swings with chocolate and everything else. Then I'm gonna have to pull back on the lever and say, okay, I got to cut this out completely because I have no control. Like a bag of chips. Are you that way with a bag of chips? Can you eat a bag of chips?
I don't limit myself, Joe. You do.
Can you eat a bag of chips?
Yeah.
And not crave a bag of chips the next day?
Correct.
Me too.
I don't have that in me.
Me too.
I do not have that in me.
But you
a bag of Doritos?
Love to eat Doritos.
We're going down the bag of Doritos? Love eating the bag of Doritos. But I know the following day I'm going to be at Market Basket going through the aisles and that out of the corner of my eye, that cool red, the crazy flavored Doritos are going to be peeking out at me from the corner.
They're going to be calling
and
us
they're speaking
Joey.
To me. That's true. They speak to me. They fucking speak to me. And it's, I don't know. It's something.
So you're the classic one drink's too many and 10,000 aren't enough.
I can control my drinking, no problem. I can have a drink and then walk away. I can have no drinks and I can have 10 drinks and not want one the next day. As opposed to chips, Doritos, and chocolate. Milk chocolate. Nice, good chocolate bar.
It's so funny because one's extremely salty and one's extremely sweet.
That's true. But I do follow on the... If I had one or the other for my life, I go savory over sweet. I'd rather have two helpings of the main course than a dessert.
Me.
I'm with you on that, 100%. How about you? You'll take an even balance throughout the meal. You like your desserts.
I like dessert.
Yeah.
I don't like overly sweet desserts. Like, I love apple pie. For Thanksgiving, my family loves apple pie, so I make one pecan pie, but then I make 3 apple pies just because they love apple pie. And I make
3 apple pies. You have 4 people in your family.
Well, because you know why.
Felicia's apple cobbler that she made on election night. Let me just finish.
We have friends come over, but then we also, it's mostly, how I make it is mostly, it's so many apples, very little dough, very little sugar, so we eat it for breakfast the next day.
To me, a big part of the apple pie is the crust.
No, just the crust, but not, it's mostly apples. It's like,
it's
I make
light
it
on the
hot,
top. The,
right.
the topping is very thin, you mean?
Right. And
is it crisp on the top or is it mushy?
It's very crispy. No, it's not mushy
How do you keep the pie from getting completely saturated and mushy? How do you keep that flakiness to a pie? Is it just that over time it's just gonna soak up the moisture and end up being a mess regardless?
I always use mostly butter, but a little bit of Crisco. Crisco keeps it a little bit light, a little shortening.
No, I know.
And then I don't know. It's just my proportionate steak.
I was gonna say something very very inappropriate about the Crisco.
We're glad that you didn't. But it all, so are you? Go ahead.
I don't even know what you're
going to do. No, you don't
want to know. Just move along.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know about the Crisco. Okay. So, moving on.
Yeah, it's correct. Okay. That's the best.
I had a topic that Kim's probably... this one is not going to be very interesting to Kim, but Toby, I think you and I talked about this earlier in the week. I was speaking with Frank, and, you know, and we
Your
talked,
cousin.
My cousin. Yeah, cousin, partner down at Captain Joe's, about the Gloucester High... That their Gloucester High School, right now, presently... is in the state championship for the Super Bowl or whatever, you know, whatever the MIAA, Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association, for football. So the point was, Thanksgiving's coming, and there's always that traditional Thanksgiving game. Gloucester plays Danvers, Bishop Fenwick plays a different school, all these different schools. But I didn't understand how they're already playing the state tournament games right now when they haven't even played the Thanksgiving game. So we went to the, and Frank wasn't even sure if they even played the Thanksgiving game anymore. He thought they did away with it. Now, the regular season is already over. It was over last week or the week before. And that was in October, which brings me to the point is how many regular season football games there are.
How many are there, Joe?
Well, I looked it up on the schedule. There's only seven. The high school kids only play seven regular season football games.
And traditionally, how many did you think that they played?
I thought that they played at least 10. The Northeast Conference, I thought, was 10 teams, but I could be completely wrong.
Okay.
But I know it was more than seven.
Well, if there are eight teams in the conference, you can't play yourself.
They expanded.
So there are seven games.
No, they expanded the conference, and then they kind of make it that I don't think you play everybody the same. But anyway, the point is that Thanksgiving game is going to be a month away. If you didn't make the tournament and you're in the Northeast Conference, you're going to wait a whole month to play football, another football game, and for a team that's not in the tournament. It's a meaningless game. Like, so how bad Gloucester's in the tournament? So they're still practicing,
tradition.
Right? Except for tradition. Yeah, and there is something to that. But think about, like, the kids, the non-starters or whatever, right? And, you know, and they're still practicing for a game, one game that's a month out. If, like, say Danvers isn't in it, right? And they get, so those, how bad is Gloucester going to romp all over them in the Thanksgiving game? And in seven games... seems like a jip because these kids have to play these athletic fees.
Right.
And you have to pay athletic fees and you only play seven games? It seems like...
I don't have the answers for you, Joe.
Well,
I just feel like it's sad.
Kim might.
Well, I don't have the answers. I know my son played soccer all through school and they played each other's teams. I mean, they played the teams more than once, the same teams more than once.
Yeah, you play home and away, probably, each team.
Right.
Yeah.
Even more.
There's probably like 20 games or something, yeah. 16 games. Seven games.
Seven seems ridiculously small.
I mean, I feel bad for these kids. That's a big commitment.
Yeah.
And
a big commitment for not much playing time.
On the field. Seven games on the field.
Or for not a lot in the spotlight, that's for sure.
I mean, big roster, so I don't know how many kids start. I mean, Gloucester's got a great tradition and a great program and great coaches and the beautiful stadium that they just built. I just didn't realize that it had been reduced to seven games. And maybe it's always been like that. I don't think that's the way it was, though. Maybe people can chime in.
When do they start practice? Probably in August sometime.
They start in the summer because they always had that summer kind of camp thing on Good Harbor Beach.
A lot of that was self-motivation. The kids would start at sunup. They'd be down Good Harbor Beach training, you know, in the sand. And
good place to train.
Yeah.
So this past week, I didn't cover any of it except for post pictures that people had sent
submitted
to me.
Yeah.
Kim covered a little bit of it. Olive Kittredge filming downtown at Passports.
I didn't get to go down Main Street during.
You took pictures of Roger Street where all the trailers were.
Right, right.
But Jesus, what a production.
It looked so interesting. I wish I could have just smashed up against the wall and just stood there and watched everything.
I walked past Passports yesterday with the girls.
They transformed Passports into the Village Pharmacy.
Right.
And Olive Kittredge's husband, the character, is the Village Pharmacist. So that ties it together for people that are trying to figure out why did they convert Passports to the Village Pharmacy and who cares, who gives a rat's behind. The answer is that her husband in the book, in the stories, is the Village Pharmacist. So it's central to the story.
You know what blew me away? Like when I walked past and I looked in, on the floor, they had like gold leaf stenciled into the what do you call that, linograph floor? What is that old school? Linoleum floor. They had stenciled in Village Pharmacy with the RX symbol, like on like every fourth tile in a diagonal pattern. Like they went through that much trouble. Are they going to pan on the floor, really? Are they going to pan on the floor?
I guess they didn't want to have, they don't leave any stone unturned. Okay. I mean, I don't know if you noticed on Main Street, that whole section of Main Street, all of the parking meters were removed because they were not appropriate to the time.
To the period.
I mean, they really go through all the details to make sure.
Well, this particular production is an HBO miniseries, and obviously Tom Hanks co-produced or whatever. But you show, you know, there's different levels of production. You know what I mean? Wicked Tuna's been all over town with the helicopters.
Big time this week. They wrapped it up.
So they're a big time production. But there's some that come out with a shoestring. You know, they're shooting with DSLRs, and they still make interesting. Some people can still make interesting stuff without all that. But the point I'm trying to make is, they went to transform Passports, like for the actors, was it? For their benefit, to feel like they were more in a pharmacy, to have it stenciled on the floor of Village Pharmacy?
Well, I think they do. Like, I worked on a film a long time ago with, it was called House Sitter, with Goldie Hawn and Steve Martin. And that was filmed in Concord. And I worked on the sets on that. And they built a in the middle of a wetland, so they couldn't keep the house there. They built a beautiful farmhouse, and it was gorgeous down to every detail. Every cupboard, every cabinet was actually handcrafted, handmade, because you never know where the camera's going to pan. Like, they have their shot.
I guess so, yeah.
Right, they have their shot sequenced and set up. However, they could, you know, something could change, something could shift.
You know, cinematically, though, when you think about it, because Kim, you'll understand, you'll get what I'm talking about. Like, they're shooting pretty shallow depth of field. They're not.
Right.
I have a hard time.
Right.
You know, they want that face to be in the eyes and the mouth, and you know, they want that to be in crazy focus.
Yeah.
And stuff before and afterwards is going to be pretty much blurred out because they want you paying attention to the cameras. This is a filmmaking technique that they use.
So I'm going back to this because
I can't get over they're not panning unless someone's laying dead on the floor in this scene. You're not going to see where they stenciled every fourth tile, Village Pharmacy. Now, when it comes out and the scene comes out and we see the guy laying on the ground in a pool of blood and you see Village Pharmacy stenciled, I guess it'll all become apparent to me. But for now, I'm mystified.
Well, now everybody's going to be looking for that.
Yeah.
In the film,
I'm watching every episode glued for that one screenshot where I can stop it and take a picture of it and put it on the blog.
Speaking about every episode, that sort of thing, I don't know if you saw, most people realize that Frances McDormand, who played the sheriff in Fargo, Margie, but her husband, who's the pharmacist, is Richard Jenkins. I don't know if you know him as an actor.
That name sounds familiar.
Unbelievable. Did you ever see that HBO miniseries, 6 Feet Under?
I didn't see it. I don't watch a lot.
When it came out, it was very radical. Mm. A couple of the subjects that they dealt with. But he was the patriarch, the father. Oh. And he actually got killed in the opening scene, but kind of had this sort of flashback moment.
Throughout the rest,
kind of like Desperate Housewives, so the main character is dead, and they're telling it through her eyes and stuff.
But but anyway, Richard Jenkins is a great actor, and when you see him, you will think back to 100, well, not maybe not 100, but 50 different movies, a TV show.
He's one of these character actors that you see over and over and over again. Yeah.
Great actor.
Speaking of Frances McDormand, I was on Twitter, the people from Salt Kitchen in Ipswich, Market Street in Ipswich, Market in Maine, the corner there. They had posted pictures. Frances McDormand and one of the great actors, Bill Murray, both ate there Friday night. And they had pictures with them.
Awesome.
So I didn't know Bill Murray was in town. And I don't know, is he a part of the movie?
I was told that he was weeks ago, actually by an employee of the Cape Ann Savings Bank, which you know is across the street from Passport.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
And they're all, and this is all A-list talent.
Right.
Yeah. Glossing, that's pretty cool. There you go. Well,
Salt Kitchen.
Salt Kitchen.
Fun place. They have charcuterie on the menu.
Oh, have you been? You ate there.
Yeah.
You liked it.
Enjoyed my times there. Yes, yeah. I have enjoyed my times there.
Yeah.
Staff is very attentive, well trained, which to me, it contributes a lot.
Oh, trust me, I know.
It's not just the food.
Toby, if you are Toby's waiter or waitress, you got to be on point. Shit is going down.
It's all important to me. If I'm going out.
You want the whole experience.
Well, if I'm going out, I mean, I want, it's got to be the atmosphere, the place has got to be clean.
Make sure that there's no spots on the wine glass. That's all I'm going to say. Fucking hell to pay.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, hell to pay.
Joe, I gave Joe an entree to tease me and needle me about the polishing the wine glasses.
Wine glasses, yeah. Big time. I seen him go sideways more than once on a wait staff person that served him.
On the other hand, anytime you were sitting at my bar, okay, being served wine, your glassware was perfectly polished.
I will say this: if there is a restaurant or bar, a nice upscale bar out there that needs to hire the consummate professional bartender, Toby Pett would be at the top of my list. No question.
We had fun. Yeah. And through the years and years past, I worked in a couple different places, and Joey was a guest, or one of our guests, and so he knows.
To this date, my favorite dining experience, like restaurant, was Toby was the bartender at Au Beaujolais, not Café Beaujolais.
Oh.
Au Beaujolais on Union Hill. Ron Gilson bought it from them.
Where the barking dog or whatever it is.
It's like a pet stop.
Pet place. Grooming
it
place.
It was a beautiful space. It was before you were here, huh?
Yeah.
Kim, beautiful space. They kicked off the fine dining kind of thing.
Okay, so it was the Au Beaujolais, and then they moved to where Duckworth is now.
Franklin is now.
The restaurant failed. It was a partnership.
Then
it was a partnership that didn't succeed. When they closed, certain people around town who loved the experience, like Joey, approached one of the partners to kind of do it again because they missed it so much, and that's why they created Café Beaujolais.
Okay.
Where the Franklin was. And the Franklin basically hasn't changed a whole lot from what that place was.
When I was growing up for the upstairs. In Gloucester, when I was being raised in Gloucester, that space was the Tick-Tock Donut Shop,
and homemade donuts.
But it was the Tick-Tock Donut Shop, and I can tell you that.
Tell about the Franklin or the. You're talking about where the Franklin is.
Where the Franklin is now.
Okay, not Café Beaujolais,
right?
On Union Hill.
And when that space was first getting transformed into Café Beaujolais, which is very close to the way the Franklin looks, not that much different. People couldn't believe that you know, they were scratching their heads going, wait a second, when I was growing up, this was Tick-Tock.
They did a lot of work upstairs
at
the Franklin, but the downstairs, a lot of it was...
The bar
seems like it's pretty much the same. I mean, to them, that's probably radically different, but in my mind, it's very similar.
I think having clean wine glasses kind of doesn't that a lot depend on the type of restaurant that you go to? Like, I've worked at restaurants where before, you know, very nice restaurants before dinner, the service staff goes around and wipes all the glasses clean, wipes all the silverware clean.
Polishing the silverware.
You polish the silverware, you polish the glasses, and then the guests come in. But that isn't, you know, a lot of places don't, I mean, they're just a lot faster
greasy
turnover,
spoon.
And it's, you know.
You know, I mean, Joey teases me about it, but I'm sensitized to it. And I think that that's the case, that once you're used to doing it and preparing it for your guests, polishing the silverware, polishing your glassware makes the experience that much more special. If you walk into a place and you don't care, you know, it's not going to affect your experience. But if you expect it to be polished, your silverware, and it's got old crusty food on it.
Old crusty food would bother me.
Old crusty food.
That would bother me. But like, I won't let that ruin my dining experience, as opposed to you may let it ruin your whole night.
Okay.
Right? Is that fair or not?
I wouldn't let it, but it will affect.
Your mood turns and you have a hard time getting past it. Yes or no?
Yeah. Okay. When I go to a upscale place, yeah, I expect every aspect to be upscale. That's all.
I hear you. I appreciate your thing, but I'm not gonna let that. Like, I'm still gonna know. I know that I'm gonna finish my meal there, and I'm not gonna have my mood completely altered for the rest of the meal.
No, but I can tell you also that when I worked in those type of places, I made extra effort. If you were there, if you were one of my guests, I went out of my way to put in extra effort to make sure all of those details were handled.
Yeah.
And that was to try to make your experience, not just you personally, but you and the customers, their experience that much better.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
That's all.
Do you guys know? So Felicia's on the blog now. She's an official contributor.
Great stuff. Everyone really loves it.
Now, I should have probably made her a contributor years ago. I didn't know that she could handle the technical aspects of figuring out how to post. As it turns out, this past week we had our election, and you could probably attest to this. My frustration, like, I have tried to impress upon all of our contributors that have smartphones how easy it is to post live blog to live blog. It really is. From a smartphone, you can live blog with a touch of, with 20, you know,
three little steps.
You can post live things. Actually, you were part of this. Toby was part of this. So
I'll tell you why.
So I sent out an email the morning of the elections. I knew I wasn't going to be able to get downtown to any of the to see firsthand the elections results. And I pride us on getting the news to people, try to get it to them first. And so I sent out a group email to all the contributors saying, whoever's going down, if anybody's going downtown, can you if you go to the city hall at 8:01 or whatever, they're going to have the unofficial results. If you could take a snapshot, I think they have a chalkboard with the unofficial results. Take a snapshot, post it live to the blog. We'll beat everybody's brains out on the coverage. It's important to me. I mean, but I'm not going to it, so I can't. I'm not a dictator.
Just to move along here, the bottom line was the only.
This isn't it. No. Let me finish. Okay. So I got emails back from contributors, and you probably didn't see this because they were directly back to me saying, "Oh, I don't know how to do it," and you know, after I've explained it 15 times how to do it, and like.
You weren't frustrated, were you?
I was frustrated. I was very frustrated. And they said, well, I'm going to go, and some people said, I'm going to go to the mayor's thing, or I'm going to go to this thing. I'm like, don't you think, you know, you already said we don't want to do any political stuff. I'm like, I didn't care so much about getting pictures of a celebration and certain who won and who lost. I wanted the fucking sheet. That explained who was going to be who's in for school committee, who's in and out for city councilor, who's in for mayor. All, you know, on one picture, you could have accomplished all of this in 10 seconds. So, again, I'm appreciative to our contributors and the work and the effort that they put in. But the responses that I was getting was that this is a fucking impossibility to do, when I knew that a lot of these people were going to be downtown. So, like, had I been there, it would have been easy for me to do it. But I knew So anyway, so lo and behold, the person who for a couple of years I should have had as a contributor, but didn't think she was technologically savvy enough to be a contributor, with the help of Toby puts the sheet in front of her. Toby happened to be at
City Hall. I went to City Hall, got the sheet. Brought it to where everyone else was gathered, and that's my thumb in that photo that she took.
Right. No one's going to remember the thumb.
But I was holding the sheet.
But you held the sheet, and you helped her.
And I texted it.
And you texted the sheet. You can text to the blog, and it'll live post.
Yeah.
So the three of us did it together.
The three of you did it together, and it got done.
Felicia and Toby.
But thanks to Felicia's account, basically, because it went through Felicia's account.
It was her thing. She, you know.
She recognized how important it was to me. So you wouldn't have thought of that, Kim.
No, I wouldn't have. She took.
Even though you read the emails.
Well, I didn't.
Why didn't you read the email?
Well, because I wasn't. Because you started the email out saying if you're going downtown to the mayor to, and I was like, well, I'm not going downtown. I'm going to be at Hannah's.
It's your fault,
thing.
Joey. You didn't word it correctly.
No, okay. I was thinking. Well, no, I'm going to be at Hannah's.
No one reads my shit now. That's what it is.
I wasn't going to be there downtown. I was going to be with Hannah, and I was going to be over at the mayor's house. I wasn't going to be at.
All right. Okay.
So, anyways. So,
but it got done.
It got done.
So lo and behold, my sister, who I think is this, you know, dinosaur, can't figure stuff out. But her posts.
Let's talk about her posts.
Okay. Are all these very detailed, incredible posts, like on the magnitude of the effort that Kim puts into her posts.
Yeah,
you know, there's certain people like post more detailed, you know. Posts than others, and you know, and I'm appreciative to everybody's things. You know, Peter and Vicky do incredibly detailed stuff with their music thing.
Right.
Joanne Silva with her music posts are very. Here I am thinking that she wasn't up to the task. She takes it very seriously. She calls me up. She's like, "I'm gonna be 10 minutes late. Will you ever forgive me?" I'm like. I'm appreciative. I'm like, no, like, you know, whatever. Don't like, it shouldn't stress you out. But I'm really psyched to have her on board, you know.
Yeah.
And they're all good stuff.
Oh,
I mean, she's sharing.
Stuff.
What she's sharing.
Sharing is really, like those fried artichokes.
Wow. Let me talk about the fried artichokes.
Okay.
They are amazing.
Are they? Oh my God.
They're expensive.
So
they're as expensive as shit. But they...
Little lollipop
so,
love, huh?
They are so
they look
good.
So good. Oh,
growing up, I didn't have any. I had no appreciation for artichokes.
Now, I mean,
I like artichokes now, but fried artichokes,
artichokes
may. Wow. Oh my! I eat over Felicia's a lot now and stuff, and like you know her family's there, so I try. You know, I'm not a pig. I don't do the.
He took all the artichokes. Did you eat all the artichokes?
I was pounding those artichokes down. Those fried artichokes down. Like there was, and I was very conscious. I would make sure there was enough for everybody else. But I was gonna push the envelope of not being too big of a pig with those things. So did she say if that's gonna be in her? Did she give the recipe for that?
Yeah, she did.
Oh my! Whoever listened. Okay, that recipe. Bookmark it. I can't believe she gave that away.
Yeah,
she should have saved that for the book.
She
for the next
away.
Book. She gave it away. Go get the artichokes. Whatever she said, just follow it to a T.
Okay.
And when your husband like just chasing you around the house, or if you cook it for your wife and she's chasing you around the house, you know, trying to nice things for you, thank for Felicia for that one, because I'm telling you, ridiculous.
Well, I've been blessed a couple of times. I've been invited to Felicia's house to share dinner with Sunday dinner, and there have been a couple items like that. That
just knock your socks off.
Yeah. Every time that you're at the house, I'm not saying everything. Everything's wonderful, but
there's always
something
one or two
stands out, blows your way, and you're left scratching your head going,
there's a lot of times, like, you know, it's just like it'll be like a Tuesday evening and she hadn't gone grocery shopping. We're just kind of hanging out there and she'll just look in her fridge. She'll scan it up and down and she'll come up with some crazy stuff that like you'd never put, you know, that she'd never made before, but she's just like out of her head. She'll put this crazy recipe.
I mean, there are certain things that you can't make, for example, with all-purpose flour. You need what they call double zero. Well, guess what? Try to go to Market Basket, as great as it is, or Stop and Shop and find Double Zero. Can't. All right. You ask Felicia, she'll give you a half dozen places where you can get Double Zero.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's one of the great things about Felicia. She knows.
Yeah, she's very knowledgeable about that stuff.
Well, she's sharing it all. She's telling everybody where they can go get vanilla baking powder.
Yeah, so you know, for this Christmas, when people are thinking about Christmas gifts.
Oh my God, that's an awesome gift.
It's a great gift.
I told you, I bought 10 and gave to people for the Christmas gifts.
Right. Right. And the Hanukkah gifts. So, when people think it's $40 for a cookbook, right? You know, you say, oh, that's kind of expensive. But, like, you have to think of these contributors that, like, Kim, you know, puts a lot of energy into it. I put a lot of it. When you think about, like, what, throughout the course of the year, how much time and energy these people are putting in to, like, providing information for you and stuff like that. Like, to question what they're charging for a book or for a piece of artwork or something like that is so it burns my ass a little bit, you know what I mean? Like when that guy, like about a month ago, said to me, oh, you know, it seems like you're just trying to push your stuff. And
I'm like, you know what, buddy?
Like, really? Yeah. Like for the 50, you know, baseball caps I may sell in the course of the year, or you know what I mean? Like if you divide it by the hours that I'm working, it may come out to 2 cents.
Right.
You know, it might come out to 2 cents an hour, you know, so give me a break with the, you know, you're just trying to be commercial stuff.
Well, just to let people know so they don't miss the moment, as I've told you before, Hanukkah this year, it starts on Thanksgiving.
Right.
It's very, very early this year.
Wow.
So.
And Thanksgiving is very late this year.
So the two happen to start on the same day. Therefore, if somebody's thinking about purchasing
a gift, that would make a beautiful Hanukkah.
That would make a beautiful gift.
Okay.
Okay. Can I just say Hanukkah? Do I have to say that?
No. Joey likes to do that because it's a.
What? I love it. No, that's how some of them say it, no?
I understand, Joe.
L'chaim!
Which means to life.
To life. You break the glass, right? You throw it in the fireplace.
On occasion, yeah.
No?
No.
I don't know. Isn't that tradition for a wedding?
No. They wrap it up and they step on it.
Step on it.
Oh, you don't throw it in the fireplace?
No.
No.
What was I thinking up there?
I don't know, but it's okay, Joe.
Some Hollywood movie, probably.
And they put the guy on the chair and they bounce him around at the reception?
You know, you love...
Is that true?
You love Jewish tradition.
I'm a huge fan of the Jews. Huge fan. Love the Jews. Christmas presents, Felicia's thing,
right.
You know.
It'll be a gift that keeps giving again and again and again.
Yep. And you can find that on her. You can find on the blog, at the top of the blog, there's a link to Sister Felicia.
Oh, you know what? Thank you for pointing that out, because I was talking to Felicia and I said, oh, you know, maybe you should have it right under your logo. And she said, oh, didn't you know it was up at the top?
In the header,
right in the header. And I said, no, I didn't even know.
People have seen the blog a million times, they don't look at the search bar. They don't know there's the comments in the right-hand column.
Right.
They don't know that there's all these links to the podcast at the top and the photos at the top and, you know, the music schedule at the top. But it's there.
It's there.
You know?
And if anyone hasn't seen the book, it is worthy of being what people refer to as a coffee table book. It's not just something it's really...
Especially for people who love Gloucester, who love to...
Tradition.
Who travel through here, there's so many beautiful pictures of our community in the book.
And one last thing.
Yep.
If you can't find it on the blog where the header happens to be, because you get the newsletter and the header isn't in the newsletter, the other people, they get the email subscription.
Okay.
Google is your...
Google.
Google is your friend. Google. You can. There's this thing called Google. It's a search engine. There's also Bing. If you type in Sister Felicia cookbook, I guarantee you, you will find a link to her site where you can purchase the book. So there you go. Google. I'm right now. Picture a stopwatch. No, a wristwatch. What do you call it? Pocket watch.
Pocket watch.
It's hypnotizing you. Google.
I use Google 1,000 times a day.
At least.
And it's but it right from the get go, it reminded me of the Wizard and the Wizard of Oz, where you go to the.
What is the disconnect? What is the disconnect between people that write emails to me asking me questions that could be like faster, like typed into Google than like typing it to me, waiting for my response, and then typing it into Google? What do you think that disconnect is? Do you think that people, in this day and age, you think people don't understand what a search engine is or how to get to a search engine?
Perhaps they didn't grow up with it or...
But they found a blog.
They don't use it enough.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they do not use it
enough. They do not use it enough, Joe. That's...
Google. Google.
Oh, man.
Kim, we're going to talk about MOTT. M-O-T-T. What does it stand for and what's happening in town?
Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, or Tourism and Travel, I'm not sure. But Betsy Wall, who's the director of MOTT, was recently in Gloucester, which I learned about from Good Morning Gloucester, that she was, it was a program sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. And I went, EJ went, listened and learned about their great new website, and then I wrote. I met the director of PR, and then wrote to the person who's in charge of film on their website, as well as the person in charge of blogging, and asked if they would be interested in having me be a guest contributor, and because that's what they have is guest contributors. So, and they said yes.
Crowdsourcing.
Well, they said yes, they would love to have some films, and the first one they want is the Parade of Sails.
Oh, the one where you did, and in the end, you had the time lapse. Yeah. Oh my God, did you see that one?
Oh yeah.
Did you see that scene where there's literally like 25 schooners crisscrossing from the paint factory?
Yeah, that was a good shot.
My
that was a really good shot.
Fucking word, that was amazing. Go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, no, that's all right. So then. So, then the person in charge of the blog invited me to be a guest contributor, and then they asked me to pitch some ideas, and they're going to do a number of them. And the first one is because MOTT has a relationship with Mass Cultural Council, so I think this is why they chose this one. The first one is going to be about Gloucester downtown,
the Harbor Walk,
the cultural district,
just
the whole cultural district, and I was hoping to feature
of which
the,
Gloucester has two,
right? But this the first one they want is the downtown area. I think the next one they want is the Rocky Neck area, but they unfortunately the Cape May Museum is closed right now until summer 2014, so that would be one of the cornerstones of the post, but there's so much that it's going to be hard to narrow it down because they only want 3 to 5.
Did you find out was that a post that Catherine Ryan had submitted?
Yes.
Okay,
so
give her some props.
So it was through Good Morning Gloucester, through Catherine Ryan.
Yeah, Catherine Ryan submits a lot of cultural stuff.
Catherine Ryan is so awesome. You know, she does not get paid for what she does for
I know.
The city.
And she loves
she's,
it.
She is just...
She's one of these forward thinkers. She is
she's
a little
artist.
Psychotic.
No, she's
a little bit.
She's very, very high energy.
Psychotic?
Hey, love.
No, she's very high energy.
No, what do you call it? Is it what do you call that? ADD?
No, she's not.
She's not ADD? No. Because, like, she sends me posts.
No, she's just very...
No. We had this conversation. I had this conversation with her, like, through emails. Like, she sent me these fantastic posts. But it takes me 45 minutes to edit them. Like, and inevitably...
Because there's so much information.
There is. No,
there's
no. And inevitably...
Joey loves to tease people.
No. Inevitably, she's gonna write me back 3 to 4 times of rewrites that she wants me to do to it, and then It is.
She worries about that because she says to me, you know, oh, Joey must hate me when I send him.
I love her. No, she sends me great stuff.
She sends you.
We all tease each other. I mean, listen, I'm not saying this out of.
No.
But
she is so forward thinking.
Psychotic.
She is so high energy. You know, she's an artist herself.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she went to film school.
Where can we see her stuff?
She had galleries for many years in New York City, right in Manhattan. Yeah. I mean, she's a very
and she sends great Virgilio sandwiches.
She's great.
She's a very talented.
But she,
woman. Very, very
but
talented
you know what else?
Woman.
She knows how to get stuff done. There's nothing stopping her, and she goes to these places, talks to these high-powered people that bring in the grants, that make stuff happen. Right. She's one of these doers. Listen, there's a lot of people that sit on these committees, and they sit on these committees because they want to seem prestigious, and they want to be powerful, and they want to be egomaniacs, and they want to dictate what everything's happening. But she's one of the people that doesn't care if she gets the recognition, but she's the one that's doing like 75% of the work that's actually getting the stuff done.
I'm
not saying in this case, in this particular committee, whatever it is, but what I'm saying is I know that she is on the ground making shit happen.
She's an awesome woman. The next thing that she's doing is she's going to be a presenter at the Massachusetts Alliance. It's a huge event that's happening in Boston for tourism and for travel and tourism. And she is going to be a presenter talking about the success of the Harbor Walk, because it was through the Harbor Walk that we became a cultural district.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Probably the linchpin that pushed us over the top, because there was a bunch of assets downtown that could have been considered cultural assets.
Right,
but that one there probably pulled it all together.
Because that's what that's what they want to see. They want to see the connection between culture and businesses.
Right.
And that's what you know, was the overarching thing that brought it all together.
Catherine's an amazing woman.
Yeah,
she really is.
One more amazing person that we're all blessed to have here in Gloucester.
That didn't come from here. That some people that, you know, would just assume erect a gate at the bridge and not have anyone come over here in the name of gentrification or whatever, that, you know, fight every kind of project that comes down the line, you know, and all these outsiders from coming here, while we have all these great outsiders that come here and reinvigorate this town over and over again, like, you know, Mayor Kirk and Erica Hansen is not with us anymore, but she was one of these doers from out of town.
I never met Erica.
Erica Hansen was amazing. She was on our original block party committee. She was great. I mean, this is just the list is it goes on and on.
But anyway, Catherine
Ryan
is one of those.
One of those people. Yeah.
So
big impact.
Just be glad and happy, and if you meet her or
pat her on the back,
give her an atta girl.
Atta girl.
That's right.
Atta girl.
You don't get enough of those in life.
No, we don't give. We don't give.
Atta boys and atta girls, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, we are at 48 minutes just now, and I think we're going to wrap it up right here. Thanks for being my guest today. Thanks for coming in, Kim.
Hey, thanks, Joey. Thanks for having me.
Toby, thanks for making the time this
morning. Oh, I got to tell you, if I knew that there were going to be old-fashioned plain donuts.
From Brackets? Did they comp these?
Brothers Brew.
Brothers Brew.
Oh, Brothers Brew. Did they comp these, or do we pay for these?
Maybe they will next time.
Well, for our next podcast, if anybody would like to sponsor the food, a big shout out.
Oh, I think you're going to get a lot of offers for
that. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, but we don't know when it's going to be. It could be
next Sunday. Next Sunday. Drop shit off. We'll talk about you. Lots of food. No, we don't do it for the food. No, Tony Kornheiser, my favorite.
ESPN,
but he has a podcast, the Tony Kornheiser Show, and it's really based out of Washington, D.C. But he talks about, you know, the reason he does his podcast is for to help his friends, to destroy his enemies, and to get get taken care of at the sandwich shops around town. So there you go. I like that. That's what we'll do here. All right. Thanks again, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Joe.
November 10th, in the books. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.